how is this obtainable? How can you really start to rank, you know, when other people are already ranking number one, two, three?
Most people aren't putting in the work. So if you just do better, if you just like do more work, you'll do better. I know that sounds like ridiculous, but I think you think of it as like going to the gym, right?
Most people who are already ranking aren't doing the work.
Most people who are who are already ranking, like they're either ranking, they're either ranking because like they like had an agency do some work and then they fired the agency and they're just sitting there now, which is cool. That's awesome. Like good for them. You can crush them, right? Or two, right? So it's like, it's not that hard to move the needle if you follow like these basic principles. And the problem that we see with people typically is they're not, there's no basic principles that they're following. They're just kind of like looking at whatever SEO advice they see on Search Engine Journal or something like that. And that, and I promise you, like, that's not going to help you move the needle.
Hey everybody, Brady here, host of the CarryCast podcast. I'm really excited for you to listen to this episode. I just finished recording with our friend Andy Kalaji. We sat down with Andy Kalaji. He's an SEO expert in the real estate investing industry, and he's actually generating over 1,000 leads a month across multiple markets for some very successful investors, wholesalers. That wasn't just a clickbait title. And the reason I'm really excited for you to dive into this is because we've done other episodes on SEO, but he's going to show you the three things that you have to do to be successful with SEO in a logical, easy to follow order that you can do whether you have only time, only money, or both. So you get to decide how you want to invest in your SEO. And then the one thing that he touched on that I was kind of surprised to hear is how SEO for real estate investing is not saturated. And I think that was a big eye-opener for me, and it probably will be for you as well, is to hear how it's really actually not that difficult to break into the first page of Google and to potentially get number one spots, especially if you are in markets that are not that competitive, if you're not in a New York City, LA, et cetera. Anyways, I got a lot of value out of this episode, and I hope you will too. Jump in, find out why SEO leads are some of the best leads and deals you can get, and enjoy this episode. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Carrot Cast. I'm your host, Brady Winder, and today I got my friend Andy Kalaji with me. I'll reintroduce him to you in just a second. But what are we talking about today? We're talking about SEO lead generation, whether you're an investor or an agent. Now, we've done episodes on SEO before. We've done a whole podcast series on SEO, which we'll link up and from start to finish, but we're going to today give you the three things that you need to do. These are really the must-dos if you want to be successful with SEO, things you can't skip over. These are the building blocks, the foundation for SEO. So some of you might be thinking like, SEO, you know, is it really worth the time? You know, I can do direct mail. I can just, you know, hit a button. I can have somebody run Facebook ads, I can cold call, whatever. I'm going to tell you right now, and Andy will, you know, Andy's going to talk about this today, but SEO leads are the best leads out there. They're the hottest leads out there. They're the most motivated, and that's why we do this at Carrot. They're the most motivated leads, and we're all about helping you build businesses of freedom and impact and consistent, predictable lead flow. And without a foundational piece like SEO leads coming in regularly, predictably, it's really difficult to do that. So we always recommend start building your SEO, which we're going to show you how to do that today, and then stack on other marketing methods. But you need that consistent lead flow. So, Andy, welcome back to the podcast, man. How are
I'm
you?
Good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fantastic. It's a good day, man. I got a date tonight, so I put a collar on my shirt today. And today I'm like literally waiting for a text from my wife to find out if we are pregnant. We're going for extra kids today, and yeah, we find out today.
Awesome,
so
man.
It's a pretty good day for me, man.
That's good, man. That's good. That's awesome. Good for you guys.
That's good. And it's been a good day or a good week for you. We had originally titled this episode something about 750 plus leads in a month, and I was like, oh man, Andy, I'm like, I don't know. That's awesome. I don't know if it's believable. And then we're talking yesterday, and Andy says, hey, can you change that to 1,000? He says, we got over 1,000 leads this month. I'm like, let's do it, man. So we're going to show you how Andy's getting over 1,000 leads a month across multiple markets, of course, but we'll dive into what he's doing. So Andy, we were talking at the last Care Camp you went to, and we were kind of laughing as you were presenting Balsar. Our brains were exploding from the value that you were giving, and everything you were teaching us about SEO, because everything was critical. Everything was critical. Everything's the bread and butter. And so let's get into it, man. I want you to tell me, like, I'm a real estate investor. I got my website. Oh, that's another important thing to mention. Like, so we're doing this episode assuming that you have a solid foundation, meaning you've got your domain and you've got your website. Hopefully Carrot, because the tech stack is already there. We do, SEO is our thing. Andy's using Carrot. If you do, you look at anybody who's doing SEO well in the investing industry, they're almost all on Carrot. So don't overthink that. So we're going to assume that you already have that set up, and then, you know, what you need to do. So what is the bread and butter? What's critical? What's the first thing?
What is the bread and butter? That's a good question. So there are really three core pieces to SEO and any SEO strategy when you're trying to generate either one lead a month or 1,000 leads a month or anything between, right? And the three pieces are, it's going to be links, content, and then time. And we'll kind of go through them one at a time. There's no specific order to them. Obviously, time is the x-axis. Time is just, it's always relative. But for us, like when we start any project, we're doing links and content right off the bat, right? We don't start one before the other. We're just going in sync and stuff. And so on the link side of thing, you know, something that we've talked about a lot with the investors recently is, you know, people call us and they'll be like, hey, you know, I've been doing Haro, or I've been doing this, that, or the other to try to get links. I've been posting on Facebook, I've been posting on YouTube, et cetera. And the thing I always tell people is, like, there's no free marketing method, right? Whether you're doing driving for dollars, whether you're doing direct mail, cold calling, et cetera, you're spending money or your time in something, right? And so, like, you can do Haro and things like that, and that's a great tactic. That's a really good strategy if you have the time to put into it. But the thing with building links with Haro, for example, is your hit rate might be, let's say, 1 in 15, right? But you might need 100 links from Haro to actually get anything done, which means you're spending out, you're going to be shelling out 1,500 responses, which is going to take you 18 months, right? And that's 18 months of, like, you actually doing something every single day, every single week, sending out responses and talking to reporters and stuff like that. And so you could totally do that. But there are other alternatives to that too, which is basically kind of going down the buying links route, right? Which means you're just trying to trading your time for your money, or your money for your time there. So that was one important thing that I want to touch on. And then the other important thing was, we talk a lot about the laundry analogy, right? So a lot of people, when they come to us, they'll say, well, hey, I don't want to get any links going. I don't want to spend any time on Haro. I don't want to do anything just yet because I still want to dial in my on page, right? And that's great. And and I encourage everybody to be dialing in their on pages. That's super, super critical. You need to be doing that to really have success in any market. But with that said, like, we talked about that third factor, which is that time factor. And the longer you wait to start building links, the longer you're extending your time factor, right? So it's like, if you start building links and you start doing your content on day one, you could be top of your market in 3 to 6 months, right? But if you do your content for the first 2 months and then you start building links after that, you're just extending your time horizon out by another 2 months, right?
Okay. Yeah, I like that. So I want to break down a couple of things that you had talked about. If you're advanced and you already get this, then, you know, feel free to fast forward 30 seconds while we break this down. But it would help to understand this at a little bit deeper level. So you had mentioned your on-page SEO. So we got on-page SEO and your off-page SEO. Your on-page is optimizing, you know, what's on your website. And then you have your off-page SEO, you know, building links, backlinks on other websites. You need both of those to be successful. All right.
100%. You can't win in any market realistically without both of them at the same time.
You can't skip.
Yeah, you can't skip.
And so in backlinks, just to recap there. So backlinks, you can either, it's either time or your money. You can spend time or money. And then Haro, you'd mentioned Haro. We've talked about Haro on the podcast before. Haro is help a reporter out, Haro.com or helpareporterout.com. Yep. We'll link it up, but what's Haro in a nutshell, and how valuable is it to somebody starting out SEO?
So Haro is basically you're pitching to reporters. So like HomeLight might ask, or Zillow might ask, like, hey, you know, what do you do when you buy a condemned house, for example, right? And then like you as a real estate investor would then respond to that and say, this is what I do. Here's like my 9-step process. Here's all my information, et cetera. And then if they really like your response, then they'll give you a link, right? Going back to the original issue, though, is like you're competing with all the other real estate investors in the world doing the same thing. Right. Hit rate's got to be high. You got to be a really good writer. They send out the emails at 5 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5 p.m. East Coast time. So if you're West Coast time, you're waking up at 2 a.m. You know what I mean? So it's like you got to start playing the game and stuff.
And it's kind of like it's like SEO leads and PPC leads. It's like when they come in, they're motivated. It's like those Haro leads. Everybody wants to be featured in that Zillow article. So you got to get on it, you know, or you're going to miss
100%.
It.
And the reason why we talk about Haro a lot is because it's the free alternative, right? And a lot of times when people are starting their real estate investing career, wholesaling career, et cetera, you know, they want the free option, right? And so if you want the free option, like that is the best by far, full stop, free option available.
I always want the free option. I want a t-shirt that says like, just give me the free option. Yeah. I'm always about the free option.
Yeah.
So what's a, you know, I'm going to tee this one up for you, but what's a great place to get backlinks if you're looking to buy backlinks?
Well, I'm super biased. So that's a really tough question for me. I mean, so we spent a lot of time obviously like dialing in our strategy, right? And so we've kind of built up our own network of domains where we sell links off of them. So if that's something you're interested in trading your time for money for, or vice versa, feel free to reach out on that front. There are other vendors out there too for links. The thing I'll say is that, and this is getting a little bit more advanced, but it's really, really critical, is it's identifying a high quality link, right? And a lot of people say, well, you know, the link needs to be from like a high traffic site, or like has a lot of traffic on it, or it's gotta be like, you know, in the same niche or something like that. And the other
high traffic site, I mean like Zillow or Forbes.
Yeah,
or
Zillow or Forbes. That's a really good example.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, there's only really a couple factors. Let me bring up a presentation slideshow. There's only a couple.
And Andy's being humble, but I want to congratulate him because he's in the Carrot Marketplace now. So if you are a Carrot member, just go to marketplace.carrot.com and you can have Andy do your backlinks for it if you're interested in 100%. That. But sorry, go ahead.
So there's really four ways to identify a good link. And we're going to go a little bit advanced here, and then Brady will help me peel it back up to the top later here. But the first one is you have to ask yourself, is this a seed site? Like, is this a site that's super important in the eyes of Google? And ways to identify that are basically, do you know the brand of the site really, really well? So like that would be like the New York Times, HomeLight, Zillow, Realtor.com, et cetera. So like if you know it and you see it out there, even Opendoor Offerpad, those are probably going to become seed sites as they are right now. Right. So getting links from those kind of sites is going to be critical to your success. Right. The next thing is, will Google value this link in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 5 years, 10 years, et cetera? Like you can go out there and you can get tools to generate tens of thousands of millions of links. But at the end of the day, like if Google, as they do updates over time, they're going to eventually devalue certain links. And that's fine. It might be a really good strategy for right now. But in 2 years, if you spend all this money to get those links now, and in 2 years, they go bad. You're out. I mean, your rankings are going to drop, right?
They're gone. Yeah.
And sorry, two more things, man. I swear.
Go ahead, man.
And then the last two things are, how strong is the domain, right? So it's like, what's the DR of the site? What's the DA of the site? What's the authority power of the site? There's a lot of tools out there like Ahrefs and Semrush and things like that to help you figure that kind of stuff out. But the final one, and this is the one that most people miss, including in the SEO community, that's super, super critical, is how many outbound links does the site /page half, right? That's a game changer, right? Mm-hmm. If you get a link from a high DR site, let's say Resident Style, for example, a lot of people in the real estate community.
And that's DR is domain ranking, domain, DA is domain authority.
Yeah, domain authority, and DR is domain rating, I believe.
Okay. And I'll link up, we'll link up in the show notes here. Ahrefs is a tool. We also use that in SEMrush. Ahrefs and SEMrush, you guys can use those to look up sites DR ranking. Go ahead, man.
So the thing that a lot of people miss is how many outbound links does the site or page have, right? So, you know, you can go, there's a really common real estate guest posting site that you can go out there and buy a link on today, like called Resident Style, right? But I don't suggest you do that because Resident Style, even though it's a really strong domain, it's got millions and millions of outbound links, right? So you're now going to be one of a million outbound links compared to getting a link from a site that only has maybe a couple hundred or a couple thousand outbound links. Which site is going to provide you more value? And that's the thing that people seem to miss very, very often. That's kind of the difference maker between going out there and going to all these like Write For Us sites or guest blogging sites or that kind of stuff versus some of the other tactics that are up there that we've been working hard on.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that. I have one question for you and then one comment before we move on to the second thing you need to do for SEO. My question was, you're a new investor and you just launched your website and you're doing these things. how much time would you spend trying to get like a backlink to a site with high DA, like, you know, whether that's chasing Haro leads or trying to pitch to like Zillow or Forbes or one of these websites? How much time would you invest to get one backlink? Like, what's that worth to you?
It's a really hard question to ask because every link has a different value, right? So like I would spend a lot of effort going after a link from the New York Times, right? But I wouldn't spend a lot of effort getting a link from, you know, a brand new site in like Westchester, Connecticut, for example. So there's always that relative scale there. And not every Haro link is the same. Not every link that, you know, you could buy from any vendor out there is going to be the same. It's all a little bit much. But in terms of like how much time should a new investor be spending on getting backlinks, that really comes down to how much do you care about getting your SEO up, right? I mean, getting your SEO up, if you can get a good solid foundation in SEO and you're getting a couple leads a month when you're a new investor, that's going to really propel you in your investing career, right? Because you're no longer spending a lot of money on marketing every single month compared to all these other people who are there who are spending their time driving for dollars or spending $1,500 a month or $2,000 a month on direct mail, PPC, et cetera. The channel's evergreen. The channel self-fulfills itself.
Yeah. And make sure you know how to close those leads, or you're at least confident to get those leads when they come in too. If you're brand new, and so for context, or just to kind of recap backlinks, it sounds like, you know, there's definitely more nuances than people might think to backlinks. There's bad backlinks, there's good links, good backlinks, and it goes even deeper than that. So I think it'd be safe to say, you know, like, don't go to Fiverr and spend $5, $15, $20 on 1,000 backlinks. You know, we joke about this, but people do it all the time and they get ripped off, you know, or even spend like $50 on Upwork for, you know, X amount of backlinks. Like, find someone in the industry. I think that's important. Wouldn't you agree, Andy? That's industry specific, like real estate industry specific.
100%. Getting someone who's in the industry, understands the niche, understands the vertical, and can prove to you that they've done it like multiple times and multiple sites and multiple different stages of the site. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely critical.
Yeah, not just an SEO expert, somebody in the industry, they can prove it and let them handle those nuances. So yeah, go to the marketplace if you want to have your backlinks done, or feel free to hit up Andy. I don't think we've mentioned that in this episode yet. You and Keith Sant have a Facebook group. What's the name of the Facebook group?
SEO meets REI.
Yeah. So just look that up in Facebook.
SEO meets real estate investors. Doing live calls. Actually, I think it's SEO meets real estate investors. My bad.
You're right. That's because I corrected you last time and I was wrong. It's SEO meets real estate investors. We'll link it up in the show notes. But these guys are always helping people out. So feel free to join the Facebook group and we'll see you in there. So the second thing, content. What do you mean by content? I feel like when people say content, a lot of like agents might think Instagram, you might think keeping up with your Facebook posts, your Google profile. Like, what is content and how much do you need?
So I think we need to preface this with that Google is a machine, right? Like, at the end of the day, they're an algorithm. Yeah. They're a neural network, but they run on, you know, differential equations and all these other stuff. They're not able to actually read content, right? They can just interpret the words that are on the page and make the best determination based on that information as to what your site's about, right? And so going out there and you're writing this like crazy long article that's like 5,000 words about, you know, how you help, you know, Betty sell her house, that's not going to help move the needle, right? But creating entity-rich content that has a good keyword density and can scale over the time, and where you touch all the major entities that are in your niche and in your vertical, that'll help propel you into having really good content.
What's entity-rich?
So entities are kind of the things that are the Google's looking at to see how qualified that page is to talk about a certain subject, right? So an entity, the five primary entities that we look at when we're looking at people's sites are going to be sell, fast, buy, cash, and house, right? So if you have a really good keyword density for those entities, you're going to do really well, right? And we say a good keyword density is around about 2%. If you're doing about 2% or higher, you're going to be crushing it. You can go up to a certain point before it starts to kind of drop off. So like the difference between like 1.5% versus 2% is going to be less than 1 and 1.5%, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, in 2% meaning of the entire page or of the post.
Yep.
And usually, so would it be safe to say like anything beyond 2% of like that keyword density or entity density, whatever, you get what I'm saying. Anything beyond that 2% would be kind of considered keyword stuffing, the point where you're just trying to cram it in there.
I wouldn't get too worried about keyword stuffing. It's pretty hard to to keyword stuff. But I would, what people typically have a hard time with is like, okay, so like, let's say they crush the five primary entities, right? But like, that's all they do. That's where you start to run into problems, right? So it's like, you also need to get all the word probate on there, the word foreclosure, the word divorce. You need to think about like every single, okay, here's the classic example, right? You wouldn't expect to talk about Barack Obama or Donald Trump without mentioning the word White House, without mentioning the word president, without mentioning the word United States, et cetera. And you need to treat your site the same way. So if you talk about sell fast, buy house and cash, then you need to talk about probate, foreclosure, inheritance, divorce, asbestos, water damage, you know, like all these other key terms that are correlated with our niche and with our vertical. And the more you do that, the better you do that than everybody else in your vertical and your niche and your SERP, the better you're going to do.
So Google wants to see context. Excuse me. They don't want to see that you're just talking about the keyword. They want to see that you're giving context for the keyword, and really that it's a good user experience, that you're educating around everything to do with that keyword.
100%. Yeah. So Google's looking for two things. They're looking for the best answer to the question, and the question and the answer to the question that has the most breadth of information. So for example, like if I ask you who's the president of the United States, right, and like you say Joe Biden, like Joe Biden is obviously the answer, but like you in the context of like the Google SERP thing, so like how am I trying to say this, using the word Joe Biden a lot will help you rank for that part of the query, right? But the second part of that question is all the context around Joe Biden, right? So it's like he was from Delaware, he was a senator, he was this, that, and the other. And so that's the breadth part of it, and so that's why the breadth part of it for the motivated seller space is the probate, foreclosure, inheritance, etc. And then the primary answer is that buy, sell fast, cash, and house entity stuff. Because that's like the sell my house fast, we buy houses, cash for my house, cash home buyers, like that kind of stuff. That's why all five of those primary keywords make up from those five primary entities.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. So we talked about, I'm tracking with you. Surprisingly, I'm still tracking. I'm like, I don't know if I can hang with Andy. And if you're listening to this podcast and it's too much, then definitely don't go back and listen to the last one we did with Andy yet. Yeah. Listen later. But we got a full series on SEO. No, you're good, man. I think this is really good so far. This is really tactical and it's implementable. So we talked about content as far as, you know, like your homepage, landing pages, things like that. What needs to be on pages? What about posts? I guess what we were talking about is relative to blog posts as well, but like how many posts do you need? You know, like posts can be really overwhelming to people. So I think like people getting into SEO, they know, okay, I need blog posts. I need to put out content. But I think they get overwhelmed when they're like, okay, how much do I do and what do I even start with? Even if they're outsourcing it, it's like, what the heck am I going to write about? Because it's limitless.
Gotcha. So full stop, don't even think about blog posts, right? Ignore it. Take it out of your head. You don't need any informational content on your site when you're first starting out. Just focus on the transactional pages at hand. So that's going to be like the sell my house fast city state, sell my house fast state, sell my house fast, et cetera, city number two, et cetera, right? There's a really, there is a lot of value in a blog strategy, but not at the beginning, right? Because if you look at like a graph of the 80, like think 80-20, right? 80% of the leads are coming from those transactional keywords. The other 20% come from the other stuff. And like, no one cares about the other stuff right now. Like you're trying to make money today, tomorrow, the next day, not in 2 years. So like if you focus on the blog strategy, you're going to waste your time. You're going to spin your wheels. It's something that's going to be awesome to do once you crush it for those primary like keywords for your transactional pages. But I wouldn't go to that strategy just yet.
This is stage zero on your car. Make sure your car is at stage zero and your motor is running well before you throw a turbo.
100%. Yeah. It's like adding a roof rack before you even have the wheels of the car.
That's a better analogy. Probably easier to understand. I like that. Anything else on content you feel like is relevant for people or something you see people mess up?
Yeah, the big thing is when we talk about this keyword density stuff, like a lot of people think about word count. Like, oh, you know, my competitors have 3,000 words, so I have to have 3,000 words. So they just fluff their content. They just throw a bunch of stuff in there. And you're wrecking your keyword density. You're wrecking the amount of energies on your page. And that's why you rank lower.
Right.
And so I promise that if you dial in your keyword density, you dial in your headers, you don't fluff anything, and you dial in your entities, and you get backlinks, like the motivated seller space for real estate investors is not competitive. Like people talk about it as competitive. It is not competitive. You can crush it. Everybody can crush it. You just need to put the work in to do it. It's seriously that simple. It's these three pieces.
I've been at Care. I've been at Carrot for like almost 4 years now. And I think that might be, I mean, besides Trevor, I think that's the first time I've heard somebody just come outright and say like, it's not that competitive. So we get people every day that are like, how am I going to outrank so-and-so? They're number one. It just seems so unattainable. I guess let's transition. I was going to start diving into it, but let's talk about time first, you know, because that's exactly what we're talking about. Like, what's the time expectation of starting to rank for SEO? And let's kind of break down like how is this obtainable? How can you really start to rank, you know, when other people are already ranking number one, two, three?
Most people aren't putting in the work. So if you just do better, if you just like do more work, you'll do better. I know that sounds like ridiculous, but you think of it as like going to the gym, right?
You're saying that most people who are already ranking aren't doing the work?
Yes, most people who are already ranking, like they're either ranking. Ding, ding, yeah, ding. They're either ranking because like, A, they like had an agency do some work and then they fired the agency and they're just sitting there now, which is cool. That's awesome. Like good for them. You can crush them, right? Or two, they don't really know what they're doing, which is like cool, but like they've done a little bit better than everybody else and that's fine. Or just the market's not even that competitive in the first place. Right. So I talked to a guy, actually, you know, Seattle's a really good example. There's a hybrid agent investor up there that we're working with. And like, he's had his site, he's been doing his on page. Like he got his on page dialed in. And then we started working with him on backlinks, like I'd say 23 days ago or 24 days ago. And he's already top five in Seattle. It's been 24 days. Right. So it's like, it's not that hard to move the needle if you follow like these basic principles. And the problem that we see with people typically is there's no basic principles that they're following. They're just kind of like looking at whatever SEO advice they see on Search Engine Journal or something like that. And I promise you, like, that's not going to help you move the needle.
Random acts of SEO. Something.
Yeah. And then in terms of timeline too, like I forgot to answer your question. Like you in any small to medium, any market that's not like a mega market, like Chicago, LA, DC, et cetera, maybe even New York City, like you can rank top three probably in 3 months or less, like pretty easily. And then for the biggest cities it's probably like 4.5 months. And then for doing like a whole bunch of cities in the whole state, 6 months. And then for doing like the whole state, all the cities, you could probably do it in 6 to 12 months. Probably closer to like the 9 to 12 month side. But of course that's gonna require time, it's gonna require effort, and it's gonna require money, right? Because you gotta get
Well, yeah, and that might sound like a lot of time to people, like, oh, 3, 4.5, 6 months, like, oh, that's a lot of time. But what I think about is like, you know, even with other marketing methods that are, you know, tried and proven, quote unquote, like direct mail, most people are not going to hit it right off the bat. Even when you're hiring an agency, it's going to take you and the agency time to work out some of those kinks, figure out what messaging works in your market and figure out how to get your cost down. And so, yeah, like Andy said, it's time or money, and it takes time to get it, you know, get the kinks worked out.
Yeah, something unique about SEO versus direct mail and stuff is like the SEO is the same across all markets, right? The conversion principles are going to be nuanced based on different markets, right? Because like something that we've talked a lot about with between Liz and I is, you know, we see that in the rural markets, people prefer to see a person more so, like they'll go to the About Us page more often, and then in the larger, more urbanized markets, they'll go to the Our Company page, right? They're looking. From our perspective, it looks like they're looking for the company credibility, the BBB, the Google reviews, et cetera. And then for the more rural markets or more probably like lower income markets, they're looking for that individual person to connect with that understands them, right? Yeah. So that like those little nuances change and that changes the conversion ratio. Like the conversion ratio between some of our pages in certain cities that we're in, even though it's the exact same template, I mean, it can vary wildly quite a bit. So
interesting. Yeah. That is wild. You know, when you were talking about like a lot of people ranking number one, number one, two, three, usually aren't trying that hard. It makes me think of, it was the last Carrot Camp where you were there. And remember we had, I don't remember his last name, Matt Moho.
Yes, Matt. He's crushing right now. Yeah. I was just talking to him last week. Yeah. He's doing a really good job.
Matt Moho, the mobile home guy. And so it's funny. A lot of people that, you know, a lead comes in through Carrot, and if it's not something they're used to dealing with, they usually throw it away. And so Matt gets up here at Carrot Cam and starts talking about like, you know, everyone's throwing away their leads. I don't know why. They're really valuable. I'm making a really healthy living off of it. I've been doing like really, really well. I want to try to get him on the podcast, but he doesn't want to share all his secrets. So we'll see. We'll see if we can get him on. Anyways, he's saying like everyone's throwing away their mobile home leads and I don't know why. And so he said, this is just like super low hanging fruit. Even if you don't want to actually deal with the lead, like just get the lead and then pass it off to me and I'll give you 50% who, you know, I'll close on it. So anyways, I was talking to him at lunch and I was like, okay, how, like, if I wanted a side hustle right now, which I don't, and I don't have time for, but it's like, if I did, you know, how easy would it be to go rank for something like buy my mobile home or sell my mobile home fast, you know, in Oregon? And he's like, let's Google it, let's check it out. And I was like thinking like, surely this is going to be cluttered. It's for the state, you know, for the whole state. And so we go Google it and there's like, I think that at the time there's like one person like trying to, you look at, I mean, there's obviously there's rankings, but like the number one person, surely it was a Carrot site and you check it out and they had done some really basic stuff, but they hadn't really optimized the page real well. There was still like, I don't think there was a bio in there. There wasn't much personalization. There wasn't a lot of content on there. I'm not bashing this person. I'm saying like they're ranking number one. They did something, they put in some work. But I'm saying what Andy said is totally true. Like it would not be difficult. The bar was kind of low to take that spot or to at least get like number two or three on first page of Google pretty quickly.
100%.
And it's crazy. And we're talking like statewide.
Yeah.
You know, for like really valuable leads that people are throwing away.
I'll throw out that Matt has a mobile home Facebook group that I think he's starting right now. And so I wish we could link to it too, because he's helping people like JB and stuff, like with deals out of market and stuff. And he seems like a really nice guy. So I definitely would encourage people to reach out to him if they're in the mobile home sector and stuff.
Okay, I'll get a link to it. We'll try and find it on here. As long as it's not super top secret.
No, it's not top secret. I'll send you a link to it. That'd be good.
Okay,
cool. Something I want to touch on too, briefly on the conversion side, because you were talking about the top three rankings and stuff, is conversion is not about getting people to fill your form. That's not what it's about at all. That's like the biggest no-mer. The difference in conversion rate between like a regular Carrot site and like some of these like spoofed up Carrot sites you see, it's minimal. It's very, very minimal difference at best, right? The difference is how many times can you get a seller to only fill out your form? That's the difference. And that's where most of the money is made, right? Because if a seller only talks to you, it's going to be a very different conversation.
Versus someone else. Ooh, you just opened a can of worms. We don't have a lot of time, but I want to touch on this real quick. So what's the magic that gets somebody to only opt into your form on your website versus bounce into the next five?
It's either touching for us, from what we see, it's either touching the pain point and then creating the connection, right? So like for us, on if you go to any of the sites that we're operating, like there'll be the personal touch. There'll be like Andy and Liz, family friendly, that kind of stuff, right? And then we'll like talk about like how we used to travel to each other up in Vermont and stuff. So like we treat the header pages, the how it works, our company, about us, etc., like all those pages is just conversion pages. It's just like, hey, literally just only talk to us. Like, we're going to treat you right. We're going to do what's best for you. And then all the other pages are just about getting the rankings, right? Because like at the end of the day, this is a problem we've seen for a lot of people, is they'll buy some course and they'll get this like really pretty site or whatever. And like, that's great. But it's like, if you can have a pretty car, but if you can't put gas in it to get it to go anywhere, like it's just a pretty car that sits in the garage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that people, as people see that, like they'll start putting gas in their car and they'll start trying to get us a rank and stuff. And then they'll start getting more leads, start getting more deals, and start seeing that return on investment. Because that's what we're all here for at the end of the day, is that ROI, right? If we can't get an ROI, we're just wasting money and time.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, on the podcast and everything we do, we talk about like building authority and building credibility. And I think what you're hitting on is making that that personal connection with the sellers, the people on your website, and showing them that you're a real person, which it is. It's a piece of credibility. Saying, hey, I'm a real person. I'm local. This is my family. This is who I am. And yeah, making that connection.
100%.
I love that.
And just to...
You
first.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, like, what's the best example you've seen of this? It can be one of your websites. I don't care. Like, of somebody, like, making a personal connection. Like, how would you... what's that look like on a page? What's an example of something you would...
I'm going to be biased, right? Because, like, I know what our conversion rate is, and I've never seen anyone else kind of go above it. But I'd be interested to see Carrot's data and have them report who has the highest conversion rate on their sites, because that'd be what I'm really interested in. And something nuanced there is, it's very important to, like, we don't run any PPC, right? So it's like, we're purely SEO, and an SEO conversion rate is going to be way lower than a PPC conversion rate, because the keywords are more broad, right? So like, you could pick up some weirder traffic on an SEO like an SEO page versus PPC, where you might just be targeting some house for cash, right? Some house for cash is a conversion is like 25% plus, 26% even, versus like on an SEO side, I'd be really happy to see 23 or 22%. That'd be really good.
Hmm. Crazy. So what type of content are you putting on there?
On the
on the page to get some of that conversion?
Trying to get the testimonial on there. Obviously the personal touch, like the face, the body. The biggest thing is the header pages, right? Because like, you'll notice that if you follow the flow, like in Google Analytics, and you follow the flow where people go throughout the conversion process, you'll see that the ones who are the most motivated leads, they'll always go to all the header pages, right? Or at least they'll go to like two of the three. Sometimes they won't go to both your company and the About Us page. They'll just pick one of them. But they'll almost always go to that HowardWorks page, right? So that's what I'm seeing, at least.
Okay. I like and that. That's a good tip.
The one thing I'll say too, and I have to say this is, so like we run property leads, right? Which is the only, it's the only marketplace of SEO leads in the country, right? So it's like, there's no other, motivated seller lead platform that's selling like pay-per-lead products that offers SEO leads exclusively, right? It's like, we're the only one. And something, and part of the reason why the leads are so expensive at property leads is because we focus so much on that conversion process, and we try to focus so much on making sure that the seller only fills out our form. And that's why our profit per deal on property leads is going to be a lot higher than if you go to some of the other vendors that are out there. So
interesting. What is it? It's propertyleads.com.
Yeah, propertyleads.com. Yeah.
Propertyleads. Yeah. These guys, Andy, just launched this, so I'm really excited to see how things go. I think you guys are gonna crush it.
Thanks, man.
Propertyleads.com.
And something.
Yeah.
Well, the other piece too is like, you know, having like an all US based phone team to pick up, who like understands real estate investing, understands the process, can actually get the asking price and talk, really have that conversation with someone, versus again some of the other people who are just, you know, they have a team out in the Philippines, pick up the phone. And again, going back to the conversion process, right, is like, if you want a natural handoff with the seller, like they want to talk to an American, right? They want to talk to someone who understands their problem, understands what they're going through, and can have that real conversation and stuff. So that's all, just all part of it.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense as being genuine. 100%. So I want to kind of start to wrap the episode up here. What's you know, we've talked about, like, at this point, people have all of the tactics they need to do. It still sometimes can be overwhelming, but I think you've done a really good job of breaking it down into like simple steps that people can do, whether they have time or money or both. You know, if you had one thing to say to someone who's like, who still doesn't think like, oh, I'm never going to be able to outrank, or, oh, this is going to take too much time, like, what would you just say to someone to kind of motivate them, kick them into high gear, like, hey, this is achievable, and this is why this is so important, critical to go after.
I wrote that this just somewhat long quote yesterday, and I think I ran it by you too, just when we were talking briefly. And it's ironic in real estate, of all industries, that building a website is not more common. In real estate, we talk about generational wealth, buying assets, building houses, etc. And building a website is just like building a house. So it's funny to see that real estate investors don't treat their websites like an asset. Your website can grow with you. It can be leased. It can be sold if it's good. Focusing on hamster wheel marketing is like wholesaling your entire investing career, never buying a house once, and then saying you're a real estate investor. So for me, from my perspective, it's critical that as a real estate investor, you have assets that you grow that help propel your financial career, right? So you can pass on that generational wealth, et cetera. So get into high gear, get a website. Like, it's it's not as hard as it sounds, I promise. Yeah. Like, we talk about it a lot on the Facebook group. We go live every Wednesday. Brady's in there sometimes too. I think he was in there this past Wednesday.
Hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely learnable. It's very, very doable. And Carrot as a platform, as a tech stack, provides a lot of like a really strong base, right? I haven't seen any other... I don't think there really is any other platform out there that can do what Carrot's doing right now in the real estate investing space when it comes to that tech stack and that platform and having that place to build from. That's super critical, right? Because like, you don't, everybody's worst nightmare is waking up one morning and having a blank Word document in front of them, right? So Carrot's can help you with that, which is really, really awesome.
I love that. Thanks for sharing, man. And I love the analogy. It's like, you know, when you put it that way, how can investors and agents like not care about their house, you know? it gives me this image of like, if you started a website, didn't finish it, or you haven't got a website up, it's like you, it is your stale, dank, rundown mobile home filled with spider webs that is getting foreclosed.
Yeah.
It's like, that's your website.
Yeah. You are a motivated website seller. Dramatic. Like, you, it's not, yeah. So,
motivated website seller. I love it. Awesome, man. One more question for you, and then we're going to do a little new segment, something here on the podcast, a little surprise for y'all. I want to know, what do you, well, you're working on property leads right now. That's your new adventure. What's your end game? Like, what are you hoping to do in the next couple of years, man? What's driving you?
So right the biggest thing for us is we're pivoting, we're positioning our company to kind of be the thing that helps real estate investors grow their marketing in some form, right? So like Kara's doing a really good job of like giving them the tech stack to do that on the website front. We want to make sure that we can handle their marketing the best way that we really can. And so I think we're crushing it right now when it comes to marketing and getting investors deals and stuff. And so that's the biggest thing right now. It's just like getting that lined up, bringing in more lead flow, bringing in more partners and stuff like that. And then finding out what they need for their next step and their next process so we can kind of fill that gap for them. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And why, like what pumps you up about that? Why helping people with their marketing? You just love, you know, the process of it, or you love helping people with their marketing?
I mean, like I love the real estate investing community. I'm going to be here for a long time in the real estate investing world. Like this is the horse that I've attached my cart to for at least the next 40 or 50 years. So I'll be here. And I like talking to real estate investors. I like the process. I like investing in real estate. I don't do as much of the real estate investing acquisition side of the day-to-day anymore. That's different partnerships and stuff like that. But I can say that for any lead that's not bought, we're doing the deal ourselves, right? So we did 11 contracts last month. Like we're doing, the flow is here. It's just like, we want people to kind of come on and join the bandwagon so we can start helping them too. So.
That's awesome. I appreciate that, man. It is a good community. And especially within like the marketing SEO community within real estate investing, it's a real tight, very collaborative, helpful community. 100%. So it's cool to see you being a part of that. We appreciate
the, the other thing I was going to say is like people scarcity mindset. That's the biggest thing I've seen that's really been bothering me recently on the SEO side is a lot of people, I've been blocked by a lot of people on Facebook when it comes to the SEO world, which is just like hilarious. And it's just funny, right? Cause it's like, we can all win together. Like we don't need to win separately in our own like closed off door. Like I tell everybody exactly.
Agencies don't want to.
Yeah, I know. But like, I tell everybody exactly what we're doing. Like there's no big secret that we're doing that I haven't shared on this podcast today, or especially in the Facebook group in more detail. Right. So it's like, just do the same thing. And like, if you do it better, like you'll beat us. Like it's simple as that. Right. But I also work all the time every weekend. So it's going to be, we're going to race, you know?
That's awesome. Challenge accepted. If you can outwork Andy, you can do it. It really is attainable. One thing, I know I said one thing probably three times, but we forgot to, we got to fulfill on the promise. You're getting over 1,000 leads a month. So we told people how, but, just context for this, how many markets is this across? Cause I want people to understand like this is achievable. You're actually pulling in a lot.
This is nationally, it's across a variety of different websites. There's some markets that we have like more than two websites in, I would say we're above 1,100 this month, not counting duplicates. So if you count duplicates, it's going to go up. But if not counting duplicates, we're at 1,100.
And then I know you have a really quick way of breaking this down, setting expectations for how many SEO leads to expect based on your
market size. I have the slide up right now. This is perfect. All right. So this is the two things, right? So you can expect 10 to 20 SEO leads per million people per month if you execute this plan, right? And that's form fill. So it doesn't account phone calls. And then the second piece is the lead growth per month follows the Fibonacci sequence. This is something that we've like ran into because, you know, by the fifth or sixth time you've done this, it's like you start seeing the pattern, right? And it follows the Fibonacci sequence. And you don't really need to know what the Fibonacci sequence is, but if you go look it up, you'll see the growth. And it goes like 1, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55. And that's why after 6 months.
Is this the golden ratio?
It is. Yes.
Okay. All right. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's awesome, man. It's super, super cool. And so it's amazing that you still find that golden ratio just in these random things that you're doing. And it goes back to the algorithm, right? So it's like, you know that like Google's plugging a number somewhere and that like this number is coming out in a lot of ways. So it's really cool to see it.
Interesting. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for setting expectations. I'm going to, so we're going to try something new on the podcast, letters from the listeners. I got an email this week from a podcast listener, and I wanted to share with y'all so you can give your feedback, give your opinion here. Feel free to email me, brady@carrot.com. But before I read this, if anybody has any questions on, you know, SEO or something was unclear in this episode, feel free to shoot me an email, brady@carrot.com, and I'll hit up Andy and we'll talk about it on one of the next podcast recordings. If you have any thoughts on this, or if you've tried to outrank somebody and you've been unsuccessful, let us know. Let's start the conversation here. So that being said, I sent out an email this last week. So we'd done a live stream called The Ethics of Wholesaling. Did you catch that, Andy? If you didn't, I got to boot you off this podcast.
Oh, no. I know Keith was on, and I think Christina and Tim or something like that, too.
Right. Yeah, Keith was on. It was really good. It was the second one we'd done. And just, I mean, really, we were talking about some of the potentially gray areas there are with wholesaling, some of the unethical ways there are to go about wholesaling, trying to highlight some of the good wholesalers who are doing this really ethically. And I mean, you know, I like what Keith said, is that this exists in any industry. Anyways, I sent an email about this last week, trying to, you know, share this episode with people. And I said, hey, what are your thoughts on why agents have riff with wholesalers, investors? Like, what are agents' issue with wholesalers? Because there's always seems to be this sort of like butting of heads. We work with agents and investors, and it seems like they don't always see eye to eye. And there's a little bit of a misunderstanding for some reason. And so Ed emails me and he says, basically, you know, a lot of, he has a digital marketing agency that markets to agents, and he says all but one of them complains about wholesalers, and he asks them the question, why aren't you wholesaling? Why don't you stop fighting them and join them? Which I hear a lot of wholesalers say this. And he says, I even explained to them that they can make almost three times as much off one deal if they approach the market like wholesalers do. And agents, this is for you listening, investors, wholesalers, you probably already know this, but for the most part, real estate agents all want seller leads. They never really want buyer leads, which could be investors like me. They want seller leads because they're easier for them, yada, yada. But they only get about 1.5% after splitting it with the other agent and their broker. What they don't understand is if that they acted like wholesalers, they could find properties not listed with an agent that need repairs. Properties that most buyers don't want because they want quote unquote move-in ready. Connect them with an investor for a 10% commission, and they keep the whole 10% because there's no other agent involved. Later, the investor is either going to need an agent to sell the property or rent it out. If they sell it, it's basically 1.5% in commissions. Overall, they'd make 11% acting as a wholesaler versus 1.5% as an agent. Usually they just complain more, but about 10% of them think, well, though, why didn't I think of that? And so it's interesting. I think a lot of what he said is true, but I think I'm asking this to the audience, and maybe I'll ask you, Andy, is like, I feel like there's still a disconnect between agents and investors. Like, why don't more agents go after wholesaling, and why aren't they as open to trying some of these to an agent? What may be like an unconventional method? You know, it's not the typical route that people would go. I have my own thoughts on it, but if you guys have thoughts on it, email me and I'd love to know. We'll bring it up on the next podcast. But Andy, you have any thoughts on that? It's a can of worms.
I would say that a lot of real estate agents aren't focused on the bigger picture of what real estate really is. They're focused on the sales and the marketing of the object itself. And so they're focused on the single transaction as like an element, like as like the one channel to do a transaction, versus all the possible options. And the thing with wholesaling too is, I can say specific, I've been on the phone with, I think, 120 people at this point in the past 2 weeks, right? Investors, wholesalers, flippers, et cetera. And the one thing I'll say is that flippers, people who are more in deeper into the community, basically, like typically flippers and stuff like that, are typically more constant. Like they get it more, right? They have a better respect. They have a better conviction and respect of the seller, right, than someone who's just starting the community, just starting in the industry and stuff. And I think that's why when like wholesaling is viewed as this like quick way to get cash and stuff, and it can be like that, but it does give the community a bad rep. When you have people on TikTok, you know, slinging paper for mobile homes and stuff like that. And like, you know, I don't know if that gives the right impression, but I wish we could see more agents utilizing the investor route as well, because it's definitely a missing market.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing that I think you hit the nail on the head there is like, I think if coming away from this conversation, I want agents to realize that investors want agents to work with investors. I think most investors I talk to would love to see the two converge and would love to work with each other more instead of there just being the separation, like, hey, we do retail transactions. Hey, we do the weird creative transactions. I've been pleasantly surprised over the years from working with lots of investors through Carrot to find that there's a lot of investors and people wholesaling out there doing it really ethically in ways that they're very proud of, making a really healthy living, that are just very open to sharing how they're making their money and would be, you know, excited to have an agent join them or partner up with an agent or do deals together with agents. So yeah, I like that. I think it'd almost be safe to say like, it seems messy, you know, it's creative, it's messy. I kind of think of it like trying to talk somebody with a healthy W-2 job into pursuing entrepreneurship, yeah, into quitting and jumping off the boat, be like, I'm going to go do this thing, to an agent. It's like, well, I have a proven system that works that many other people before me have done. Whereas like wholesaling, you know, learning on academyofyoutube.com, it's not as guaranteed or predictable. So it can be a little scary and messy, but I don't know. That's one of my theories, at least.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Who knows? Send me an email, brady@carrot.com. Letters from the listeners. I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts. Let's talk about it on the next podcast. Or if you have anything that you're interested about, any questions, send it to me. That being said, Andy, thank you so much for joining us, man. I feel like this was really helpful for people. Where else can people follow you? Do you want people to follow you besides property leads and the
No. Buy leads. No, I'm just kidding. Go to the propertyleads.com. So, okay, here's the thing, right? So it's like, if you want leads today, if you want access to SEO leads today, or you don't care about SEO in terms of marketing channel, like property leads is like, it's the best choice, right? Like full stop, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to do SEO, you should really join the Facebook group, SEO Facebook group, and then consider backlinks, right? Like you need backlinks, but like, you should find a way to get into backlinks. So you can go to the Carrot Marketplace. You can check us out there. You can go to the Facebook group. We don't pitch in the Facebook group. Like, you wouldn't even really know that we sell links in the Facebook group, but it's like, they're there if you ask people, if that makes sense. So, Facebook group, Andy Kalaji on Facebook. And my phone number. I'm going to do it again. This is the last time I'm ever going to do this. My phone number is 202-570-4651. This is the last time I'm giving out this phone number. I'm going to keep it active for like probably 2 or 3 more months before I literally get a new phone.
I was going to say, you might have to change it in the future.
Yeah, I'm going to change his phone number. Yeah. Blow it up. But for now, I will keep it active. I've responded. Everybody's reached out this far, but I've always responded to.
That's awesome. Well, cool, man. Well, I seriously mean this when I say it, but thank you on behalf of our audience and the Carrot community. You're doing a lot. You're doing a lot for the community. We appreciate it. Helping other people be successful and not holding back, just being that beacon of positivity and possibility for people. It's something that totally aligns with what Carrot does. And we appreciate your realness.
Thank you, man.
So thanks for joining.
Go to Carrot Camp. Yeah, everybody, if you're not going to Carrot Camp, if you're making 100K, I don't know what is 100K a year or something like that, but it's like, go to Carrot Camp. Carrot Camp is the best. Dude, Keith's going to be there. Keith's way cooler than I am. I'm going to be there in September and stuff, so go to Carrot Camp. I don't know if this is coming out after Carrot Camp or before Carrot Camp, but you should go.
I think this will come out probably by the time this comes out, it'll be like just sold out. At the time of recording this, we got a couple spots left, but just in case, go to carrot.com and it'll tell you. We might have a couple spots left.
Okay.
We'll see.
Awesome.
But yeah. Thanks everybody for joining us. If you got value out of this episode, leave a review. I know everybody says on every podcast, but it really does help us get in front of more people. And if you got value out of it, share it with a friend. Just tell them about it. Send them a text. Until next time, thanks for joining us, and we will see you later.